And we're up and going. Lovely Janaea, how the heck are you today?
Good.
Excellent. Glad to hear it. I'm excited to have you on today. You and I, we met at work, but I never actually knew you had any kind of entrepreneurial tendencies until this past year when you started working all of this up, the lovelyjanaea.com, getting your own business. So, what made you want to actually start your own company?
Well, last year I started doing a lot of work to help my friend who is a hip hop artist. And she was signed to a label and everything, and they were doing what they could do, but it wasn't reaching like where she needed it to go, I guess. Like things she needed or whatever. So I decided to start doing it, and then it started costing me a lot of money. So I was like, okay, if I could teach myself how to do this, then I can offer these services and make money, because there's really no point in me constantly doing it if I'm not making money. I mean, it's fun to do and everything, but I think the whole point of never working a day in your life is doing something you love doing every day and that becoming profitable. So that's how the Lovely Janaea LLC happened. And then I made it was just a merch company originally, and then it turned into a promotion company.
Yeah, I remember that you started the merchandising part of it first, and then it kind of morphed into the artist promotion side. But the whole thing of it started with just wanting to help your friend out, reach more exposure. And did it turn out that once you started doing that, you actually were providing her with more exposure than what she was getting through her record label?
Yes and no. Like more exposure in some ways where she was getting like the other stuff she needed. I believe like her previous label does have more I think influence than my startup company, and they definitely like they're multimedia, so they know more things than I do just starting out. I just know her better, I guess you would say. So I know kind of it's easy to access what she's looking for and things like that. And I have taken business and marketing and psychology classes and stuff like that, and they all kind of intertwine together. You need to know your people in order to know the market, and you need to, be able to understand business in order to work the market properly. So it's kind of like taking all those things and kind of knitting them together, as well as her, the artist, and what her vision is, and then finding that proper audience. So everything's still like a process and everything, but our influence has definitely grown as individuals together without having a label for her, and that I think is pretty cool.
That is really cool. And that's actually something that I wanted to touch on next is the whole music industry. Me being in a band and being a musician for years and years, I've watched as the internet has come online, I've watched the whole digital revolution change the music space completely. Where do you see I guess the promotion side of the music business going, or how have you been functioning within that changing landscape?
It's definitely interesting. Everyone uses their phones a lot. So when the lovelyjanaea.com came about, it was originally just finding easier ways for people to access me and what I'm doing, because I'm always busy and I don't have enough time to communicate everything. I do have an assistant now who's been working with me on stuff for like the past, 3, 4 months now. And that's been really awesome. But a lot of technical stuff I needed to learn because of the advancements. So I decided if my company was going to be promotion as well, and everything is taking off on the internet side, and people are looking at their mobile phones, and I needed to create a .com. So the lovelyjanea.com is basically every artist that has believed in me and worked with my company on fundraisers, because that's mainly what we've been about right now. Is also, I want to make sure when my company launched that it wasn't just a company trying to make money off of people's talent, because I want people to make their own money off their own talent. I wanted it to be about making a difference in, like, you know, our environment, because it's going to shit. Like, global warming is a thing, and so is, like, sex trafficking, and we're losing endangered animals left and right, and everything has a purpose other than fucking cockroaches. I really, but everything else has a freaking purpose. And so I really wanted, like, the launch between me and Lizzie to show more of who we are, and not just that we're out here trying to flex and, you know, trying to make all this money and shit like that. Like, everyone wants to make money doing the shit that they love, and we're definitely about that, but we're also about, you know, giving back and trying to influence a better environment, not just for, you know, my kids, but everyone's kids. There's next generations growing up, and right now they're growing up backwards, in my opinion. Like, certain things I'm seeing them care about and stuff, it doesn't hold quality to the planet. It's not about nurturing and taking care of things anymore. It's all about, you know, how fast can I get something? And there's quality when there's, I find, like, quality being, like, the most time spent in something has the most value. And if you get it super fast, then how much are you really going to take care and appreciate it?
Right. You know? And yeah. So it's like those kids that their parents buy them a car when they're 16, and then 3 months later they wreck it because they don't really care, because they didn't have to work their butt off and spend their money to buy it. It was just given to them.
Yeah, yeah. And that's kind of where I see everything going. So the lovelyjanea.com was basically a way to reach mobile devices as well as, like, computers and stuff. They're able to look at their artists that I believe care about the same things me and Lizzie care about when it comes to trying to make some type of change in the world. Like, we're not just trying to, you know, become rich or anything like that. We do want to see better things happen in the world. So every artist or band that I put on that site, I believe, have, like, the same ideas when it comes to that. So I wanted to give them a platform where people could just type in thelovelyjanea.com, and they could literally just go to the artist or band section and click the band that they're interested in or the artist they're interested in, and they get all the social media, all the music, all the live performance. They get, you know, my feedback on the things that I've seen myself. It's not me making it up, because I put live footage on there for me seeing it myself. And I guess in a way that's, like, the fast and easy part, because, you know, nobody wants to go. And this is what I've noticed from just observing, because I've been in the scene so much, just observing and trying to see how it works and, you know, the psychology behind everything. And what I've noticed is nobody wants to, you know, everyone doesn't have the same SoundCloud as they do the Spotify and as they do the iTunes. Sometimes names are taken, so they have to go by different names on every platform. And then the same thing with social media. And no fan, even though they really like your music, no fan really wants to, you know, type in, you know, Janaea on SoundCloud, and then the lovely Janaea on iTunes, and then the lovely Janaea 50 something something or another on freaking Spotify or whatever, you know. They don't want to do all that. They want it just all there so they can just click, because that's what they become accustomed to with all these apps and everything. They want to be able to just click and add as friend. That's what they want to do, because that's what they come to accustom. So the lovelyjanea.com, that platform was made, and they literally, that's all they have to do for every artist that I promote or has been a part of my growing business. That's all they have to do. So that's me, you know, respecting and understanding the environment they're growing up in, but then also at the same time, doing the fundraisers and stuff, I'm trying to bring awareness to things that are important and try to bring back to newer generations, you know, quality.
So that being said, you know, a lot of people these days are wanting to niche down in their business. Like if you're like, say you're in the car business, you're selling cars, but you're only selling like high-end luxury vehicles. Like you're not a used car dealership selling everything. You're a used car dealership selling just high-end luxury vehicles. Do you see yourself doing that with the subset or the niche of being environmentally or socially conscious with all of your artists? Like, is that something that you're looking to do and like make yourself different or distinct from other promotion companies? Is that all of your people have this same view or same mindset of wanting to, you know, better the environment and planet?
Yeah, I really don't want any artist that promotes more destruction on, you know, the planet or a destructive way of thinking. And the reason why I don't is because we already have enough of that shit that's going on, and it's distracting from, you know, a lot of positive things that we could be giving back. And it's not like I'm a hippie or a guru. I mean, I do plenty of shit that's probably not exactly environmentally friendly myself. I'm not saying don't get a Starbucks coffee or something. Like, that's awesome if you use the reusable straws. You know what I mean? What I'm saying is, like, you have to be an artist that I would look at, you need to be, you know, involved in more than just your music, meaning, like, your music is your passion and you need to be serious about it. But, like, at the same time, I also want artists that are also looking at the world around them. And while they're growing and becoming more influential, being able to see what can I do to change this for the better. People that are inspired by people that have been trying to make change and, you know, things like that. I don't want someone that's just like, you know, fuck these hoes, these bitches are sluts, da 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 da. Going to go pimp this girl out for my freaking weed money. Like, I'm not interested in that shit. Like, I know I have some artists that do some flex shit and stuff like that, and they kind of say some nonsense stuff, but I know them as a person, so I'm like, yeah, you better just stay on the path of trying to better the world with that nonsense you're speaking right now.
Yeah, I completely agree, and that's a big reason why, you know, as I was growing up and the rap and hip-hop scene became more and more prevalent, I couldn't stand it, honestly. And it was just mostly because the older that I got, I saw just the vapidness, the shallowness of it. And then, of course, you know, with the whole gangster rap thing that started and, like, you know, oh, we're all about, you know, gang wars and killing cops. That's just horrible. And I didn't want anything to do with that. But I remember going to your Big Cass Energy show, and the artists there, I was completely shocked by the fact that I was able to be there and listen to that style of music and actually enjoy it. It was a big surprise. It was a pleasant surprise. And it just, in my opinion, goes to show you how the artists that you associate yourself with are on a higher level of, like, social and economical consciousness.
Yeah, they're definitely not trying to be in situations that are not conducive for them. And I think that, like, hip-hop is, like, now starting to be, in general, I think hip-hop is starting to be more socially conscious of, you know, like, we're tearing each other down instead of building each other up. Like, most of the music I've been hearing lately is about, you know, it's either like fun dance type music, or it's like, you know, what they're seeing in their environment and, you know, what consequences have come from them being involved in it and things like that. And, you know, how to be more proactive and stuff, which is cool. And that's what I like to hear is growth. I think the only way you can truly grow is by challenging yourself and also surrounding yourself with people willing to challenge themselves, because then you're constantly advancing to the next levels and stuff. And everyone from Big Cat's Energy and Taken, My Body, Not Yours, I feel like they have their moments where they stress and they struggle, but like they find a way to still grow from it. And, you know, that's life. And it's beautiful to see that, I think.
It is. There's a saying that goes around in the business community of your network determines your net worth. And I think that can be applied to not only, you know, a financial situation, but also a moral and almost spiritual situation as well. The people you surround yourself with, you know, influence your life, you know, for better or for worse. And I really do think that you've found a community to start and to build off of that is more going towards that positive direction of, you know, increasing your net worth, both, you know, like I said, financially and spiritually, however you want to put it.
Yeah, I tell this to people often, like, you are who you surround yourself with. And what I always try to say by that, and like, you know, I know a lot of people have heard that phrase. If you're not surrounding yourself, and I mean, integrity is important, morals are important, but like, for me, it's like, if you're not surrounding yourself by people that are constantly willing to grow and are constantly striving to see, you know, where they could grow from, then to me, it's like you're not exactly where you want to be yet. Because, you know, a person that always is going to find the excuse not to do something is not the person trying to grow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then there's, that brings me to another kind of example or turn of phrase that will lead us into the next thing I wanted to talk to you about. Is there's in my own personal growth over this past year, I began to learn about a type of person known as a crab person. if you ever see a bucket of crabs, right? There's a bunch of crabs in a bucket. One of them eventually is going to try to climb the wall and get out. But there will always be the other ones that are in the bucket that are trying to grab them and pull them back down. And those are known as crab people, the ones that aren't doing anything or are constantly complaining or are telling you that you can't or shouldn't do this because it's a, you know, it's a dumb idea or it's going to take too much time or effort or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Discouraging you?
Yes. And I know that you came up against that when you decided to start this business. So can you talk a little bit about like how you overcame those crab people and just move forward anyway?
I mean, I think what I just did is I just didn't talk to them because when I was younger, I was in high school, and I remember singing and being like really good at it and being nationally published for poems that I was writing. And for me, how was I really good at writing poems and things like that, being told I was a good singer, but then I constantly had like these people around me that, oh, you can't do it, it's too hard, or you can't this, or you can't that, or, well, just because you know how to write and you know how to sing doesn't mean you know the musical side of it, things like that. And so I think early on in high school, just not really paying attention to who I surrounded myself with, and I called them friends and stuff. When I came to my adult life, I always like try to tell myself, you know, make the mistake, but learn the lesson. Like, you don't need to be hard on yourself for the mistakes you made, as long as you learn from them. And so me constantly looking back at all the learning lessons I had in life, when I started this company, I was like, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that are not going to give a shit because they're like, well, who is this freaking person? And that's like a normal reaction most people have. And so I was like, I need to be just working and showing what I can do and not worry about what people think. And if they don't support what I'm doing, then, you know, fuck them. I mean, I know that doesn't sound professional or anything, but I already been through that. in my teenage years, and had I been more aware that like I am now, I probably would have already been singing, and I probably would have turned those songs that got nationally published. Well, they were songs, but they got published as poems. Maybe those would have been songs, and I would have, you know, talked to the guitar player that wanted me in his band, you know, and would have sang for him, and he would have taught me how to make my poems that were actually lyrics into, you know, songs and stuff like that, and things would have been a lot different. But because I listened to them and believed, you know, what they said about one in a million, it's really hard, you can't do it and shit like that, you know, I just refused to be at this point in my life while raising children on my own and telling them that, no, you can't accomplish anything. I think that part of like being a parent is leading by example. And so I'm not letting anyone be influence my company or be a part of my company that don't believe in it. If you don't believe in it, that's fine. But then don't sit there and affiliate yourself with me. Walk the fuck on.
Exactly. Exactly. You don't have time to deal with that crap, and neither does anybody else that's trying to level up and improve themselves or their business. So just like you said, you have to learn, you have to make the mistake like you did, you know, listening to those quote unquote friends in high school, and then you have to learn the lesson. And now you've learned the lesson, and and what's great is you're showing your kids, your kids how to, you know, chase what they want without listening to other people. And that is like, I can't tell you what a huge head start that's going to be. Like, I never got that. I was never like discouraged at all from pursuing what I wanted to, but I was also never actively told, go for it. Don't listen to what anybody else says. You can do it if you really want.
Yeah.
I was never actually told that. So it's a great thing that you're doing for your kids in that respect.
Yeah.
It's very cool. So going back into the whole lessons learned thing, when you started this, obviously like you said, you really didn't know a whole lot of anything about building a business and such. Is there anything that you, looking back on that starting phase, that you wish that you knew then that you know now about starting a business?
Well, I've taken business classes, so I had an idea what I was getting myself into. I think the structure of a business isn't the hard part. I think the marketing is, because the marketing is how you grow the company. Because the business is there and you know of the business, but it does you no good if only you and a few people associated to you know what the business is about. The only way the business can like make money is through you marketing the business to other people that believe in the vision of the business and how to sell that to where it becomes profitable so it can be a sustainable business. Mm-hmm. I think that was a part. Like, I didn't think the marketing would be that hard, because it's really... I mean, I still do not have my marketing down. Like, technically, you're supposed to be marketing your stuff every single day. Every single day. I do it maybe, like, say 2-3 times a week, maybe. Definitely not every day. And, you know, I'm active on some of the lovely Janaea social media stuff, but not as much as I should be active on it. I communicate through my personal accounts, but I need to communicate more through my lovely Janaea account. And so it's just like the more different businesses you have. So like there's some people who have like one here, one here, one here, and one here. You have to be consistently active in all four of those. That can take a whole freaking day by itself, just marketing it. And so it can be, I think going into this, having more in depth with the marketing instead of business, like I'm glad I have like a background or enough of a background in psychology and marketing and business to understand like how the wheels function with each other. But it's just like kind of like the not enough time in a day thing when you start to realize, and then you start realizing, you know, I went into this business thinking, well, it's set in an LLC. I think somewhere when I was doing the LLC, I was trained how to do LLCs, and it was saying, you know, for a business to become profitable, it can take up to 3 years before you're breaking even, or, you know, more than even. And I was just like, psh, I know how to make this shit work. And then getting into it, I was like, well, I just don't have enough time in the day for all this marketing stuff. So I think figuring out a marketing plan, I would have to tell people that, like, you need to have an outline, a structure of, like, your business idea and the direction it's going, and then a marketing plan. Like, how are you going to market this to the people? Who is your audience? And how are you going to market to that audience? What are you going to do and say that it's going to make them want to be with you over anyone else?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You have to figure out, just like you said, you have to figure out who your market is and how to reach them. Not only how to reach them, but how to do it on a consistent basis. That's one of the things that, you know, I've been paying more attention to as the years have gone out, that there's a lot of noise. There is so much noise in the social mm-hmm. media space, in the marketing space, and you got to figure out
so how to many rise above that. Company.
Yeah. And one of the tools that I've found that I really like is called Hootsuite. Hootsuite. And what they are is, it's like an automatic posting service. So you type in all your social media accounts that you want to use.
It's called Hootsuite?
Yeah, Hootsuite. Mm-hmm.
W-S-W-E-E-T?
S-U-I-T-E.
S-U-I-T-E.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what you can do is you can, like, create posts in there and then schedule them to be, you know, put out, like, you know, like on Instagram, February 2nd next year. You know, you can send it to Instagram, and then the next day you can send something else to Facebook or whatever. But you just spend, like you say, you spend like a day, like 2 or 3 days a week working on this stuff. Well, instead of doing it one for one, spend that time creating a backlog of stuff that will automatically post out. And I think that might help your workflow. And you could also give your assistant access to it too. That way she could be creating stuff even when you're not. And you could really up-level your social push using something like that.
Oh, that's definitely something I'm going to look at.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It's hootsuite.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So would you say that, given your education in business and psychology and all that, that the marketing is the main thing that you're struggling with right now? Is there anything else that you're kind of like, you know, I wish I was doing this better, or like, I need to start doing this, but I don't know how?
At some point, I need to get to the point where I can afford an accountant. I think that, yeah, mainly the marketing, because it's easy once you do your, like, your structure and your foundation of where you're going with it. So I have my idea for my business already done. It's just marketing it to be profitable. You know, psychology was like the easiest class I ever took, because it's all about observing and understanding people. Most people think, well, that's just a whole separate thing, but actually it's really not, because observing people helps you understand them. And then once you have a better understanding of how people work and operate, you're able to market better. Mm-hmm. So it's just doing it and to reach a vast amount of people.
In thinking about reaching people and, you know, finding the right people, I think.
Yeah, for what you're looking for, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I think something else that might be able to help you along is, if, like we were talking about earlier, of the quality of people and, you know, what they care about, and those types of people that you want to be associated with, I think something that would be good for you to do, if you haven't done already, is to just put that out there. Like make a video saying, you know, this is me, this is my company, this is what I stand for, And I want to represent artists that share this view. And I think if you put that out there and, you know, encourage the rest of your community to share it, I think you might get some interesting results coming back to you of other artists that may be a little bit farther along in their career saying, I feel the exact same way. How can I work with you?
Yeah, and so those are like next steps too. We're also in the process of looking at venues and stuff and being able to pay artists as well. So it's going to be like a whole thing because we don't want to just do fundraisers all the time. Although we do like, we definitely want to do 2 fundraisers a year for various different things. That's part of us giving back, but we also want to help expand artist platforms, and we want these artists to make money off their craft. So we're also looking into finding the best system that works, that doesn't involve artists having to stress out about selling tickets and things like that, where we get people in the door ourselves and they pay, and then we just give the artist the cut of it or something like that. Some type of system that works to where our artists always have an audience and they're always getting paid.
Yeah. Yep. That's a big one. Cause I can't tell you how much I detest selling tickets. Ugh. I hate it.
Yeah. And it's just like the functionality. So how the lovelyjanea.com is set to work. I want, you know, our business with promoting artists and developing platforms to them to work the same way that I worked so hard on that website. You know, like that website was definitely a eye opener. I think I have recently hired someone to help me fix one of the voting things on there to try to see, you know, why I'm not seeing the votes or whatever. So by the time I do the next What's What episode, you know, I can announce who won People's Choice, but I can't do that right now because we got it working to where people can submit votes, but now the problem is I can't freaking see the votes that were submitted.
So what is that about? Like people can go on your site and vote for certain artists?
Or the music video of the month.
Okay. Oh, so it has to be a video. It's not just audio. It has to be a video.
Yeah, it's a video. You know, a lot of these artists put a lot of time, not only into their music, but into their music videos. So I wanted to give them a platform to where they can show their music videos off at a, you know, higher level. And, you know, there's the music video that I picked for the month off of YouTube. That's just like what I think is really cool, either because, you know, the beat is really good, or, you know, the music behind it, or how they put all the visuals together. There are going to be multiple different reasons why I pick a music video, but that's just mine. But one thing I like about the people who follow me is I like their feedback and, you know, what they think and what they like. It helps me better understand them. It's like when I went back to like the whole psychology thing, you know, understanding your audience and giving them a voice is very important. And so I made People's Choice for that purpose. I give you 2 videos that had pretty good ratings or reviews, or, you know, maybe they weren't seen at all, but they should have been. And they get to choose, do I like this music video or do I like this one? You vote for whichever one you want and we tally up the votes, and then that's People's Choice of the Month.
And those videos, they're all hosted directly, like they're all on your website, and so is the voting. So the people that visit, they don't have to like go to YouTube and then go back to your site. It's all like,
no, it's they can watch it. All they have to do is go on my site and click the music video. It plays right there. And then when they're done, they click whether they like it and then they submit it. I just need to be able to see the data from the submissions. That's the missing link that I'm having right now.
Right. And that goes into another little, another little point about as your business develops and all that is you really want to hire your weaknesses. Like whatever it is that you don't necessarily do the best or know how to do at all, if whenever you can, hire somebody.
Yes, hire them and have them teach you things that you do not understand.
Absolutely.
Because they might not always be around, so you might need to learn from them, but hire them, pay them for their experience, and then learn from that experience that they have.
Absolutely. And that way, you know, going forward, if you have to hire anybody to do those types of things again in the future, you now have a better experience to know, okay, if this person is going to do this, I now know at least enough about it to realize if their product is good or they're just talking a bunch of crap to try to get money out of me. Like you'll mm-hmm. have that eye in the future. You know, speaking of the future, this is, you know, we're in a, like we said before, we're in a really changing landscape when it comes to music and artistry and things like that. Not a lot of people are watching regular TV anymore. Most of us are on our phones.
Netflix.
Where do you think, yeah, Netflix, Hulu, all that stuff. Where do you think like the music industry as a whole is headed to? Do you have any idea?
Well, I think, I don't want to speak too much on that just because that's like another idea that is gonna be blossoming between me and Lizzie Page. But
we got secret stuff in the works now. Now I'm interested.
I do think that like as there is a Netflix and a Hulu, that there's going to be like a channel for like just music videos and stuff like that, with genres and categories that you can easily look up that doesn't really have anything to do with YouTube or anything like that. Like YouTube has its platform and stuff like that to look, but make it a platform that's easier to access, kind of like a MTV of music videos. And you just type in your artist and you technically don't have to look it up by genre, but a genre option to be there.
Right, for anybody that just wants to browse or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, but it'd be like an app that you could put on a PS4 or PS3 or whatever, and just like Netflix has its subscription, you know, there's like a $5 or $10 a month subscription to this, and, you know, any artist that reaches a certain amount of views, they get paid for those videos being played on there, just like with Netflix or anything like that.
Interesting. Very interesting.
The only way to do that, though, is to make a subscription.
What's that?
The only way to do that, though, is to make a subscription.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%. That's a way not only for, you know, the service or the promotion company to get paid, but it could also figuring things out down the road, it could also be a way to get artists paid as an aggregate of whatever that subscription is. That's fun. Well, I'm excited to hear more about that as it comes down the pipeline. That's good stuff.
I still have to work on my whole designing with Amazon.
Oh yeah, that's right. I remember you telling me about that. You got hooked up with Amazon as a
designer, yeah.
As a designer to be able to use their platform to design like
my stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so what is it that you would be designing or using
just
that?
Just whatever I want to design, and then they print and ship it.
Okay, so you can make clothing or like say like swag, like pens or coffee mugs or something like that, things like that?
I'm not really sure yet. They sent me like a package that I still need to go through of their designer team and videos to watch of how to do it and how to use their technology and stuff like that to design and submit to them. I still have to go through all that training and look at it and stuff like that, and then start doing it and then loading it onto their site, so they have, you know, designs by the lovely Janaea.
Very cool. And so then you could do those designs, upload them, and they'll probably have some kind of a widget or something that you can put on your website and put it, you know, maybe even right next to some of your artists. Be like, okay, if you want to buy this artist's t-shirt, here it is on Amazon. And yeah,
from the lovely Janaea.com or the lovely Janaea on Amazon. Yeah,
right.
There's like templates and stuff though. So the templates are basically like the designs of like the different shirts.
Right, right. You got the men's t-shirts, the women's t-shirts, spaghetti strap tank tops, you know, stuff like that. You know, that kind of thing has been around for a while. You know, Cafe Press, there's a few other websites that do stuff like that too. Even Vistaprint, you know, even Vistaprint now is getting into the whole clothing thing as well. And they've been there for a couple years, I think, maybe more. But having, you know, having the e-commerce giant of Amazon behind your design name, that's a big, you know, that's a big confidence push. You know,
it's like pretty excited about that. And then I also designed a shoe for Vans, and Vans is like a skater shoe company. Like, they're known for their skater shoes, but there's been so many people that wear Vans other than just like, you know, skaters. Like, I have Vans and stuff, so it's really cool to be shown, you know, the fact that they're having this design contest and stuff. And I was like, well, I'm gonna give it a try, you know. So I'm supposed to be hearing back, I think it's in December, the beginning of December, of whether my design is in the top 10. And if it is, then I meet with a designer that works with the Vans company. And then they come, we meet up together and we work on a design, and then we'll see who wins from there.
Okay. Yeah, I was curious about that because obviously, you know, us being friends, I went and voted for that shoe every day that it was live. So I'm kind of invested in that just a little bit. So yeah. In December, we'll find out.
Like, this bitch keeps freaking talking to me on this damn shoe. Like, goddamn right I am.
That's right, man. You gotta.
The merch side of my company. And I feel like I spend so much time on the promotion side that I forget, you know, like the point of it becoming a merch company was also because I wanted to design things and make different types of clothing, not just logos for people, but what's different, because, you know, all trends happen because someone chose to be different. So when I hear people say, well, that's not in fashion, I was like, well, what are you? Are you an icon or what are you? Because if you're an icon, you're supposed to set the trend, not be following what's in fashion. It has to be what you're representing and what you're trying to put out there.
Absolutely.
I was like, I need to pay attention to my designing some too. So that's why I went ahead and did the band shoe. And that's why I went ahead and I did the whole template and everything with the band shoe and submitted it. I did the whole Amazon thing. It took about 3 weeks to hear back. And when I got approved, I was like, yay.
Yes, I remember all the Facebook posts with those stick figures rocking out, like, so excited.
Yeah.
So what's going to be next? Like, what's next for the lovely Janaea, the lovelyjanaea.com, the merch company? Like, is there anything that you're working on right now, like event-wise or promotion-wise, like, that's coming down the pipeline?
Well, I know for sure July next year, I'm going to launch Big Cats Energy again. We were told by Joe's Grotto and Starlight Lounge that they want to work with our venue again. Not with our venue, but with our companies, the Lizzie Page Entertainment LLC and the lovely Janaea LLC, which is really cool to hear. Because that means we're building good relationships with these venues. So basically what's next for us is trying to figure out how to use all these venues that want to work with us and get all of our artists paid. We want to have more than just one or two artists performing, and we want to make sure all of them are paid decently to be there. So I think we're just working on building our platform, making it bigger and bigger, figuring out where the audience are for this, this, and that, you know, and then, you know, appeal to those audiences. And we want to do like tickets being, you know, $10 or something like that, so we have more bodies coming in, kind of thing.
Yeah, $10 seems to be a good gateway, a good door price, you know, for just a, I guess what you would call like a standard night out. I think for most people, they can swing that no problem. Whereas when you're getting, you're getting into the $20 mark and things like that, you know, for a quote unquote local show, it better be a damn good local show for that kind of price point. So yeah, I think $10 is about right.
So that's what we're kind of doing, is like doing like looking at the audience and what we're trying to market to, and then figuring out what the ticket price should be, and should we even have tickets or should we make it door, looking at that stuff, and then, you know, bringing people in, marketing it properly and stuff like that, that way we can get to the point where we're throwing a show once a month, every month. We may have contests and stuff too at some point that doesn't necessarily involve the artists, that involves the fans, because people love, you know, being engaged with it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Finding a way to get the people, that are coming to the show and that are at the show, finding a way to acknowledge them or give them a chance to be recognized. Yeah, I think that's a huge thing to be able to think about and bring to your events.
Doing things like that, like getting them involved and throwing out, you know, free merchandise that I've designed or that an artist has if they want, you know, people to wear their stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. Everyone that comes to one of those shows, it can't just be a fan of me or Lizzie. They obviously are a fan of whatever artist is performing too, you know, hopefully.
Right. Yeah, well, yeah, that's obviously, you know, what you want. And something that I think that the Valley in general is kind of struggling with and has for years is people that are coming out to support their artists or their friend or whatever, but they don't stick around for, you know, they don't come for the first performance and they don't stay till the last, you know, that kind of thing. And finding a way to really remedy that situation, I think would be just a gold mine, not only for the promotion of other artists in your company, but also for any venue that you wanted to work with.
Yeah. And I think too, so with Big Cat's Energy and Taken, My Body, Not Yours, I made it a point that like we did a raffle at the end of Big Cat's Energy. And if you weren't there in the building, when we called your number, you didn't get the canvas of the animal you're trying to save.
Right. Incentivize them to stick around until the end, either way.
Yeah, and then with the Amazon gift cards, we had $100, $50, $25, and then you got a bracelet. With that whole thing, it was kind of like, you know, we're going to do that at the end of the show, and whoever's still here, like, we don't even care if, like, they went and the judges voted on your costume, but then you left. Well, then, you know, you could have been the $100 winner, but I'm not going to send it to you in the mail. You should have still been here. So it goes on to the next person.
Right.
So right. I think those have been the incentives we've been using for people to stick around. Like, stick around for the last performance and you're still here, win something. Because we appreciate you and we want you guys to feel appreciated. And we're grateful that you came out to see our artists and things like that. And we want to give back just as much as you give to them. So that's the whole idea of that. But just throughout the show, the crowd interactions, like finding ways to throwing beach balls into the audience and which group can bring it back to the stage fast enough, you know, like things like that, like fun, interactive ways to keep the crowd engaged.
Mm-hmm.
Like, absolutely. Friendly competition, no elbowing someone in the face for the damn ball either. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no street beach ball action.
Yes. Or not even that, like, not even just street, like, no moshing, no mosh ball either.
Yeah, that's definitely something that happens, you know, once you get involved more and more with the rock and metal community, there's gonna be people that are gonna want to do that. And some clubs will, you know, let you get away with it, but others they won't. But I mean, if you set the standard as your promotion company that, you know, we want it to be more of a friendly type of environment, you just have to make it clear to your artists, like, you know, this is not a moshing show. Like, this is not going to be happening. We want people to have a good time and not be injured or.
Yeah, you can, you know, jump around and do all the fun shit, but no elbowing people in the face or getting too aggressive. 'Cause like, I don't do well with aggression. If somebody shoves me like they want to fight, then I'm gonna turn around and pop them in the face, because that's just what I know. Like, that's how my dad taught me. Like, if somebody does this, or that, you need to immediately react back and defend yourself, because that's a form of aggression, and that means they're, you know, trying to harm you, and you need to prevent yourself from getting hurt. So that's why I'm not in mosh pits. I'm like, you get too handsy with me, there's gonna be a fucking fight. There just is. There is. That's how I am. Like, you do not get freaking handsy on me, because I'm a drop down, drag down, and I will fuck your shit up. Like, it won't be good. So yeah, I can't promote, you know, moshing or anything like that, especially if I can't freaking do it, you know.
Yep, absolutely. Can't have that stuff at a quality show where you have to worry about everybody's experience.
Yeah, I mean, definitely as people develop, they're gonna ha eventually get to the point where they have their own audiences and stuff, and grow past like what me and Lizzie are doing, and that's the whole point. Like, we're promoting growth and stuff like that. So obviously, I see me and Lizzie going to huge places from here, and I always think positive and bigger and stuff like that, and expanding this platform and things. But like, yeah, I definitely don't foresee me or Lizzie being like in a mosh pit anytime soon. But if I had to guess which one would be in it first, I'd say her before me. And that's just solely because of the fact that I don't need no freaking charges.
No.
I pushed this bitch and she freaking punched me in the face. Like, you don't run up on me like that. But then at the same time, that's what mosh pits do. So I'm in the wrong place,
Yeah,
technically.
right. You have to set the standard for yourself as far as any situation that you want to be in or not be in and how you want to interact with. I mean, that goes back to like your network, who you associate with and what you want your business to be. Now you had mentioned Lizzie Page. I know she's a really good friend of yours and also a hip hop artist and things like that. And this whole journey started basically with you wanting to promote and do better for her. But have you like, are your two companies linked in any way, or do you two just collaborate a lot?
I don't know necessarily if we're linked, but we definitely collaborate a lot. So I guess in a way we are linked, but in a way we're not. We're separate.
So you're linked in the fact that, you know, you kind of have the same vision about like where you each want to go, but it's not like one legal entity, so to speak.
Yeah. We're separate, but we work together.
Okay. And how is, and I'm assuming, well, I know for a fact, but I know she's one of the artists that you promote. And how have you seen her exposure or her, you know, her situation change from being involved with your company?
I guess I wouldn't really know without talking to her what she saw change, because I don't really know what the huge difference is between me and the label she is with. I think she's happy with the confidence of owning her own company since working with my company. I can say that. But I'm not really too sure about any of the other stuff.
Well, I
I know
remember.
she loves her website for sure.
Yeah, as does my band. We love our page on your site and are very appreciative of that. But I know, like, Lizzie got involved with a like another promotion company or like a venue booking company or something, and she had to, like, there was a goal that she had to hit in order to be involved with them. And if I remember right, you helped her reach that. Am I remembering
Oh
that?
yeah, Raw, it's called Raw Artist.
Okay. And because of her performances or her social engagement or something, like she reached so many views or likes or something on a
Yep,
certain
and she
video.
got to perform, and now she could perform all over the US with that venue.
I remember you actively promoting that, and
Yeah.
yeah.
I guess I do a lot of stuff actively for her, because that's the reason why a lot of things happen. Like, I care about her as a person, and we're best friends, and I don't want her to not live her dream like I didn't live mine, kind of thing. So I kind of want to not only give that to her, but give that to other artists that want that thing too, kind of thing. Yeah, I was definitely actively supporting her in that, and she did get it, and so, like, that's what I mean. Like, so far, every goal we have been accomplishing. She's definitely happy with that. I'm a humble person, so I don't know, not good at, like, speaking for other people.
Well, that's okay. I can speak for you through the experience that I've had and seeing your posting and your promoting. So I know that's one of the things that helped her get that was your push, to get that out to your network so people would go vote. And yeah, I'm sure she is happy with that, being able to get on to one of those shows nationally whenever they happen, whenever she can get to one. So that goes to your methods and your caring behind what you do. It's all good stuff. It's all good stuff. So don't downplay yourself and forget about those things. And it kind of circles back to what we were talking about earlier about working something that you love is like not working at all because you do it anyway. It's just now you've got to figure out different ways and techniques to get paid for doing the thing that you love to do.
Yeah, exactly. I need to be able to, like, make money from this too, because of how much time and energy and things it takes.
In speaking and thinking about that, let's say that another artist wanted to be represented by you and be able to book shows and through you at different venues and such. What does it take to work with you? Like, what does that process look like?
They have to be serious about what they're doing and know what direction they want to go. I don't want to have to sit there and have issues with communication. I understand everyone has lives and has things they want to do, but if you're serious about being an artist, then you need to know that properly communicating with people that are promoting you, getting you on a venue that a good amount of people are going to see you at, keeping in proper communication with them, because you never know who's going to bring you to the next level. But if you're not going to, give them the proper communication that's required to get you there, then, like, what am I doing? Like, I don't have time to do that. Like,
Yeah, exactly. You're in the business of promoting artists and musicians. You're not in the business of hand-holding people.
yeah, I'm not going to sit there and send reminders out every day for you to do something that you already know you're supposed to be doing. Like, if I, ask you for whatever it is I asked you for, I expect you within the next 48 hours minimum to have that sent to me. Why? It shows me your professionalism. It shows me how serious you are about what you're doing in your life. And it shows me how driven you are towards your goal. And so for me, if I ask you for whatever it has to do with, your company or, artist information, band information or whatever, if you don't send that to me immediately, like, no, obviously I'm going to think, well, you're working or you're, you know, doing God knows what. I always assume people are just busy because I'm always busy. So I get that. But within 48 hours of time, if this is something you're passionate about and something you're serious about, if you can't get back to me in 48 hours over something that I asked you for that only helps you to get it to me, like, I still have to do all the work in the background. So for me, I'm just like, well, how serious is this person? If they don't take this seriously, how are they going to take this next level seriously, or this next level, or this next level? Because everything is supposed to accelerate, you know, like excel from one area. It's not supposed to go backwards. So I'm like, I'm not too sure about this.
All right. So that's obviously the type of artist and the type of people you want to work with. And who doesn't? Like, who doesn't want to work with motivated, driven people that have a vision of where they want to go? So if somebody goes onto your site and, you know, looks around, is there a place on there where they can, like, submit themselves to be represented by you? Is there, like, a form that they fill out to request that kind of support? Or how would they do that?
So there's, like, an email on there, and they can email me. There's also like a service thing, so they could see all the services I provide and stuff, and they can contact me with whatever service they want. And depending on what it is, they have to just tell me, you know. As far as promoting goes, it's like the same thing. What's your vision and what's your purpose? So obviously, if, you know, they're an artist that doesn't have any vision and they just need help, then definitely could help. But like, if they're not even motivated to get pushed in a direction that's going to make them successful, then what am I doing here?
Again, back to the motivation and working with somebody that's driven. So you have, you have different services and things that you do. And obviously we don't need to go into that. They can just go to thelovelyjanea.com and visit your services tab and figure out what you do. But in that tab or in that subject, does it cost anything for an artist to work with you or to engage you in that platform?
With the services, yes, it does. And all those prices are listed there. The only other way artists can get in with me is through fundraisers I do, because they're doing those pro bono, meaning they get paid through free merchandise and they get paid through services that I offer on my site. But if they're not willing to do a fundraiser or something like that, or you have to be a certain level of qualification to be accepted as an artist in a fundraiser, I feel like that's important. I don't just put anyone on the fundraisers. It's about making the most money we can possibly make for things to make a difference. So you can't just be an artist that just barely got, you know, an EP together and you don't have an audience and you want to do my fundraiser so you can get like a free web page. I'm not going to accept you on the fundraiser. I will help you, you know, with whatever you need help with as far as growing to the best of my ability. But I'm not going to put you on a fundraiser, because those are for artists that are more developed in their career.
Okay.
I need to like bring money in and send a good amount out. So.
Gotcha. So an artist that comes in and works with you on your site, they don't necessarily need to be well established, but they have to be willing, at least in the future, once they are more established, they have to be at least willing to submit themselves to be part of, you know, one of your fundraisers, because that's the community that you want to build and the caliber of people you want to work with.
Yeah, they need to be people that are appreciative and driven towards not only being successful, but also willing to change the environment around them.
Very cool. Well, I think we've covered quite a bit today, actually. And this is usually the part of the podcast where I want to just like open the floor. So if there's anything that you want to talk about, like that's coming up that you're excited about, or any statements that you want to make, like this is where, you know, you can like fill in the gaps of anything that we might have missed today. So I'm going to just open the floor to you and let you have it for a minute or two.
I think we covered like everything. I don't think there's anything to cover.
Well, if that's the case, then the next segment is the shameless plug segment. So tell people where they can find you, how they can work with you, and all that good stuff.
You can find me at thelovelyjanea.com. My email, my Facebook, Instagram is on there. I also have a new episode up called What's What, episode 1 on YouTube. You can reach me there, and you can comment on YouTube, and I can get a notification and see it, but mainly thelovelyjanea.com, the email there.
So that's the main way that you would want people to connect and submit to actually work with you, is through that email on your website then?
Yeah.
Okay, very cool. And then as far as all your socials, they're obviously still linked on your website as well.
Yes, so all of them. You can follow me on any of them, The Lovely Janea.
And
all of them are The Lovely Janea.
That was exactly my next question. Like I said, I think we covered just about everything that I needed to, that you possibly needed to.
All right.
Well, The Lovely Janea at thelovelyjanea.com. I appreciate your time. It was great talking to you. And I'm excited to see where you go in the future and what the next big surprise is going to be.
Me too.
All right. Take care, dear. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Holy sh! You're still here. That means you actually liked something about this video. If that's the case, go ahead and actually hit that like button for me. It not only helps me out, it helps the entrepreneur who I'm interviewing. It adds value for everyone involved. And that's why I started this channel and this podcast, to add value to everyone. And if you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe to this channel, and don't forget to hit the notification bell. That way you'll be the first to know when I upload another podcast episode.